Hey guys, this is your host, Michael Terrazas. Thank you for listening to the Underdog Sports Podcast. If you are a Colts fan, be sure to subscribe to my podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. My podcast is available on all platforms. Also, follow me on Twitter at Underdog Sports4, Facebook Underdog Sports Podcast. I hope you guys have a great day. Stay blessed and go Colts. Enjoy the show. Two minutes. That is how long Chris Ballard's end of the year press conference was. It could have been almost 40 minutes, but he insisted that he had all the time in the world and that the media was just waiting for this all year long. So we went from having a 40-minute to a 72-minute press conference. Welcome back to the Underdog Sports Podcast, guys. I am your host, Michael Terrazas. We're back every Wednesday, like I said last time, and I'm just giving it, you know, a fresh reminder. This time we're back every Wednesday, and man, we got a lot to get into. We have a lot to get into. Wild Card Weekend was crazy. Wild Card Weekend, man. I certainly think that the Buffalo Bills got robbed. You know, there was just some, I don't know what it's been, man. The refs are just on Houston's side this year. I remember when we faced them twice, there was plenty of holding calls that were missed on Justin Houston, that were missed on Ben Banigou, that were missed on Danico Autry. And then, you know, yesterday there was a couple of holdings that were missed. Not yesterday, on Saturday, there were a couple of holdings that were missed. A ridiculous blindside block that was called. That wasn't even vicious. It was in no way a bad block. I just didn't. That was the most softest call I've ever seen in my life. It's the playoffs, man. It's the playoffs. What is that? I just thought it was ridiculous. Tom Brady, he got defeated by Ryan Tannehill. And now there's decision making to be done in New England. Is Tom Brady going to leave New England? Is he going to go to LA? People are talking about him going to Indianapolis. And then you go to the NFC. Man, I mean, who would have expected Kirk Cousins to beat Drew Brees in the Superdome? Now, guys, I'm going to give y'all quite a hot take here. I think Sean Payton is done in New Orleans. I think he should move on. You know, when I say that, guys, I just look at his tenure there, an amazing tenure. But what else does he have to do? What else? I mean, he's got his Super Bowl ring. Drew Brees got his MVP. There's many records broken. And for the last few years, he cannot get the job done. He just can't. He can't. He lost to the San Francisco 49ers, lost to the Seattle Seahawks. He lost Minnesota twice. He lost to LA last year. I give you that. It was a blown call. But there's always blown calls in every game. You gotta be able to find a way to win. And I just don't see what's left to be accomplished in New Orleans. Now, if New Orleans moves on from Drew Brees, or Drew Brees moves on from New Orleans, which is retirement, I don't see him going anywhere else. If he retires, then okay, all right. Sean Payton can get him a new quarterback, whether that's Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, wherever. I expect that, you know, I just think Sean Payton should move on, should look for, like, the Browns coaching job. There's a lot to be done there. But lastly, guys, getting to that Seahawks game, man, I'm quite genuinely happy for Josh McCown. He got to see some playoff action. Not sure if this is it for him, but he was emotional in that press conference after the game. So that was genuinely, you know, that felt good to see him, you know, out there giving it everything he has. And man, just injuries just cost you sometimes, man. Eagles definitely had a chance. They had many chances, but executing is something you miss from your key starters. Because something, when it comes to those backups, man, something like a Colts fan, we had a lot of starters this year that were out. When it comes, the difference between a starter and a reserve guy, the difference between a DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, to a Greg Ward Jr., is that those guys have such a great feel for the field, a great feel for the game. They can get themselves open. They don't have to just run their route and that's it for them. No. They can run their route, get themselves open. So who's ready to finally get into Chris Ballard's comments? Okay. So I felt like I've kept y'all waiting long enough. Here we go. We're gonna start with some opening comments that he had. He basically, he came out right out the box and said he was very disappointed organizationally with a 7-9 season. He did take ownership for the record for the year. He said, he hopes to get the ship moved in the right direction. He also said he learned a lot about the team, both good and bad. And just so you know, guys, before I continue on, this was probably the most honest I've ever seen Chris Ballard. This was like one of the most honest moments I have ever seen from Chris Ballard. I mean, he was just genuine, honest, upfront, and you're gonna see that, as we go through this press conference. So after saying, he learned a lot about the team, both good and bad, he also talked about turnover on the roster. And, he said to say that there won't be turnover on the roster would be dishonest to the players. He did mention he talked to the players after the season and they were honest. He was honest, and that's where he said, to say that there wouldn't be turnover would be dishonest to them. He said he has to find answers. That's his job. And he himself took it upon himself to say he needs to find answers on this team. Now, he also went into thanking Jim Irsay for giving support, control, decision making. He says Frank Reich stands for all the right reasons, basically reassuring that Frank Reich is our guy. And basically just thanking Jim Irsay for what he's done to give Chris Ballard everything he needs to do his job. Now, when it comes to evaluating whether if it's coaches, players, Chris Ballard did say that it's going to be about a month-long process to evaluate everything in-house. Everything in-house, whether if it's medical, coaching, players, personnel, whatever the case may be. He said it will be a month-long process to figure all that out. Okay? So keep that in mind. He also said he likes the coaching staff, but he will make decisions. Okay, he will make decisions on the coaching staff. And when he was asked about trading up, I believe it was Stephen Holder that asked the question. He said, does the thought of trading up for potentially a quarterback, get into your head at all? And Chris Ballard just jokingly said, "Well, I'm not gonna give that away." It was just a good, genuine, fun time right there. When it comes to the draft, man, what Chris Ballard says, Chris Ballard does. He talked about the possibility of trading back in 2018, and then guess what? He traded back. And he said it from the beginning. When it comes to trading up or trading down, whatever Chris Ballard says, it's probably going to happen. He also said, even last year, trading down because he didn't think a lot of guys were worthy of the number one pick. Guess what? He traded down with Washington. So, I don't know. I don't know. It's early January. I really want to see what he has to say in March, though. Or hell, possibly February. And when it comes to, coaching and all the coaching hires that are happening, He says no interview requests from other teams have been asked on assistance. Now, getting into the actual team, he was asked about, what happened. You started out 5-2 and you fell to 7-9. What happened? What was the reason for this? And Chris Ballard's answer was he thinks that getting caught up into being 5-2 might have been a reason for the season derailing. Now, he says it might be a reason, not the reason. Okay? Not the reason. And remember, this team is a young team. Getting caught up in success could get to their heads a little bit. Because remember, this, especially on the defense, everything's young. Chris Ballard has brought in a lot of young talent. He's pissed at himself for not giving his coaching staff enough this season. I said that earlier. Says he's not discouraged, young team, and have to continue to add. Like I said, he mentioned it was a young team, and adding talent, adding guys, adding depth. He's got to continue to do that. He spoke about that quite a bit in this press conference, quite a bit. And you just get the feeling, that there's going to be turnover. He was asked, does he need to be more aggressive more than he's been in the past? And he had disagreed on the glaring holes part. He noted that, young players take time. Young players take time to develop, to actually learn the full game of football. They will continue to do what they have to do. They will continue what they have done, build through the draft. If they like a player they like, they will go after them. Basically, that's set in stone. He kind of set his feet in the mud. He's not, I wouldn't say stuck in the mud, but he stayed firm. He stayed strong. He said, there will be decisions. He also reiterated that they are players in free agency, but it just never really goes the way they want it to go. That's basically what he's saying. Now we're getting into positions, what he had to say about positions, because on a few of them, they're pretty interesting. Okay. So, now getting into the number one thing people want to talk about, the quarterback situation. Obviously, you knew it was coming. Chris Ballard was asked about Andrew Luck, and I'm not gonna lie, when Chris Ballard said this, I felt someone punch me in the heart. He says he hasn't talked to Andrew Luck in a couple of weeks, and Andrew Luck is retired, and we all need to accept that. He also said just Jacoby Brissett did good things as a whole. The passing game has to improve. Got to throw the football to win. Got to. The jury is still out on Jacoby Brissett. He also noted the short-term extension. That's one thing. When it happened, we thought it was the right move. Don't sign him to a 6-year extension. Sign him to a 2-year. Get him paid. Let him go out there and show you. You've invested what you need to invest in Jacoby Brissett. Now he needs to invest in you. Now he needs to go out there and show you. So, guys, Chris Ballard is still not sold on Jacoby Brissett. Okay? And what I think this says is that he is going to be looking at a quarterback piece. You cannot sit there at the most important position in football and say the jury is still out and not add any talent to that position, whether if it's free agency or draft. A quarterback has got to be brought into Indianapolis. There has to be some kind of an effort to get a quarterback here. To publicly say the jury is still out, the passing game has to improve, And if he noted the short-term extension, that those are all signs that Chris Ballard is not sold on Jacoby Brissett. Chris Ballard is still high on Jacoby Brissett. He still believes Jacoby Brissett has talent, okay? Let's get that straight right now. He still believes in Jacoby Brissett. But he said Jacoby Brissett has stuff to work on. Jacoby Brissett has got to get better himself. He also said Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback right now. Okay? Right now, he is the starting quarterback. Whenever there's a chance to add a player that makes the Colts better, they will take him. I can't even begin to think about how many times Chris Ballard has said that. If there is a player that makes the Colts better, of course they're going to add them. Okay? Which goes back to it. If there is a quarterback available and he makes you better, you are going to add him. When it came to the evaluation of quarterbacks in the draft, he says that they have always spent time studying quarterbacks. It's the same process like everybody else. When it came to drafting quarterbacks, he said you can't force it. You cannot force it. He said that when organizations start forcing themselves into a guy, they get attached to a name, you know, and that's literally what I have been saying this entire offseason. If you attach your name, if you would get yourself attached to a name, you could potentially set your organization back 4 to 5 years. Look at the freaking Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look at the Tennessee Titans. Look at all these names that haven't worked out. I'm not saying that they probably didn't do their homework, but what were they thinking? I heard all kinds of stuff about Marcus Mariota potentially being a top five quarterback in the league. And what do you know? Quarterback play has held Tennessee back. Now that they get a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, look what they're doing. They're in the divisional round of the playoffs. That's exactly what I've been saying this entire year. Jordan Love is probably as talented as Marcus Mariota right now in their careers. Right now, at that point in their careers in college. At this point in their careers. I'm not saying that Jordan Love is not the guy, but guys, don't get attached to a name. Don't. Don't do it. I've been saying that this whole time. And Chris Ballard literally just said it. You can't force it. You can't talk yourself into a guy and set your franchise back 4 to 5 years. More on Jacoby Brissett. He says that Brissett has talent but needs to be more consistent. He was asked, he even asked this question. He said, would the narrative be different if they were 10-6? He literally asked that question. And when he asked that question, I'm sitting there thinking like, what? Like, what is this? What is this question about? And regardless is it if it's 7-9 or 10-6, Jacoby Brissett needs to be better. And he said that following that question he asked. Jacoby Brissett needs to be better. He literally said that. Regardless if they were 1-15, 7-9, 10-6, 15-1. Jacoby Brissett needs to be better. He needs to be more consistent. Again, he reiterated, there's a chance to upgrade at the position. They will. And when it came to the quarterbacks again, you know, he was asked, are there real guys in the draft at quarterback? To that question, he said he likes the guys and they will go through it. He didn't really give any names. Of course, he wouldn't do that. He didn't give too much, but he gave the impression that they are studying quarterbacks. They are evaluating. From the impression he gave, guys, right now, I don't think he's too sold on any of the quarterbacks in this draft. My impression right now, Chris Ballard is just not sold. He's not there yet. He's not there yet. You know, he said that the quarterback, the guy he likes, he has to be real. And he was asked, are there real guys in this draft? He said he likes the guys and they will go through it. So I don't know. I don't know. Chris Ballard gives, you know, some, maybe leading us on a little bit. I don't know. But it's just getting exciting to even think about. He was asked about the evaluation of Jacoby Brissett with the knee. And he said that it's tough to evaluate Jacoby Brissett with the injury because the injury could have affected his mechanics. But he also reiterated again, you still have to produce. You still have to produce regardless of what it is. If you tried out there on that field, you have got to produce. He was asked about Andrew Luck's retirement. He was literally asked, when did it set in that Andrew Luck was retired? And honestly, guys, I kid you not, Chris Ballard said that Andrew Luck's retirement did not set in until about 2 days ago. Now, remind you, his press conference was last Thursday. So on Tuesday, that Tuesday, Andrew Luck's retirement set in. He was very honest because when it happened, he said he didn't have time to think about it. He had to find a way to get it done. He didn't have time to think about and reminisce on Andrew Luck and his career as a Colt, his retirement. He didn't have time for any of that. The season was starting in 2 weeks. He had to finish this roster. He had to make cuts. He had to make calls. And that's just crazy to think. That was just crazy. I found it crazy that he even admitted that. Like I said, guys, this was the most honest I've heard from Chris Ballard. He was asked, were they facing any pressure on taking a quarterback? He basically just plain and simply said no. He noted 2017 wasn't a real season for Jacoby Brissett. He's ruling that one out. 1 or 2 years does not make a successful quarterback in this league. So you can tell right now, Chris Ballard is backing up his current guy. He's backing up Jacoby Brissett. He's saying in the media, look, Jacoby Brissett, I have your back. Okay? And I love it. Get behind your guy in front of the media. Don't show any weaknesses. Back him up. Encourage him. So that's it for the quarterback position, guys. Going to the running backs, there wasn't a whole lot. There was only one thing about Nyheim Hines, and he said he originally drafted Nyheim Hines as a returner. But, you know, during that training camp of his rookie year, he was just having fumbling problems and they just didn't really work out. But he said that Nyheim Hines is a much needed element. On to the wide receiver position. He says that Paris Campbell is an important piece on the offense. Noted Zach Pascal is good. And he gave a little bit of a story. He went into story time here. He said last year of 2018, he noted he was pissed with Zach Pascal. I believe it was after the Patriots game, I want to say. He noted that he was pissed with Zach Pascal. But Andrew Luck and Jacoby Brissett went to Chris Ballard and said he can play. Don't touch him. Don't do anything to him. Keep him here. Hold on to him. Can you imagine that, guys? Chris Ballard could have let go Zach Pascal, but Jacoby Brissett and Andrew Luck went to the GM and said no. That is awesome. That is cool. He said that they were having too many injuries. The soft tissue stuff is down. Staff saved a bunch of soft tissue injuries that could have been worse. They have to do a better job of keeping players healthy. He did say that about the medical team. Now, are there going to be changes? I think you make changes to the medical staff. That's my opinion. That's my thought, decision making. That's if I was in his shoes, I'm bringing in a new medical staff because this is just ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Don't nobody in the NFL have the kind of injury problems that we have year in and year out. Of course, there's always a team that goes through their injury problems, but year in and year out, it is always the Indianapolis Colts. When asked about surgeries, off-season surgeries, he said no off-season surgeries for T.Y. Hilton or Jacoby Brissett, but they're still making some decisions on other players. Now, when it came to bringing back Devin Funchess, and I quote, he said, "We will see. We'll have some visits." He likes Devin Funchess. He noted that Devin Funchess and Jacoby Brissett really started to make a connection in that first game against the Chargers, and he's disappointed that, he didn't get to fully show what he can do. Now, on to the tight end situation. I might as well get this out of the way now. He was asked about the probability of bringing back Eric Ebron, and he said this. He literally said, he was it was funny, man. He was asked, "Is Eric Ebron a guy you're thinking about bringing back, or you'll probably move on?" And immediately after that question was asked, Chris Ballard said, "We will probably move on." Like, I kid you not, guys. Immediately, he didn't even give 3 seconds to think about it. He was ready right then and there and said, "We will probably move on." Eric Ebron is done in Indianapolis. I love me some Eric Ebron, but that decision just that pissed off Chris Ballard. That he did not like that one bit. For Eric Ebron to come out in front of the media and say, "Get me the ball," they get you the ball and then you drop it. And then you call it quits. That's not acceptable. That's not going to happen in Chris Ballard's building. Not a whole lot on the tight end situation, but I guess you can say he talked about Mo Ali Cox, okay? He gave a little bit of another story time. He mentioned people don't understand what Mo Ali Cox went, sorry, what Mo Ali Cox went through this season. He breaks his thumb against, I believe, Jacksonville. He plays that Thursday against Houston. He then has surgery and then plays the next game. That's a crazy 2 weeks for a player. 2, 3 weeks, whatever you want to call it. He basically gave the impression injuries hampered Mo Ali Cox. What else on the tight ends? He was asked about contract extensions, which he put Mo Ali Cox's name in it. They'll be part of the offseason evaluation. He's proud of Ryan Kelly for being durable this season, and Marlon Mack could have easily missed more games. Here's a question I have about the running back position. Does Chris Ballard need to draft a guy? Because when it comes to Marlon Mack, 3 years in the league already, his history tells you he's going to miss games. And when he says Marlon Mack could have easily missed more games, it's time to ask about the durability of this guy. The strength, the body physique of this guy. I mean, what is it? I still don't even understand how a fractured hand happened. He did not get tackled on that play. He just basically stiff-armed a guy. Should the Colts draft a running back? Should they? That's a question that I'm starting to get a little bit antsy about. Because I love, make no bones about it, guys. I love Marlon Mack. I was shouting his name when everybody was saying Le'Veon Bell to the Colts. I said, keep Marlon Mack. He is our guy. I'm proud of him. He played in 13 games. He missed 3 games. And when Chris Ballard says he could have easily missed more, I just start to think, is he going to draft a running back? I just start to think about that. On to the offensive line. And after this, we'll go ahead and take a quick break before getting into the defensive line. On the offensive line, when it comes to Anthony Costanzo's retirement, he just said, and I quote, I hope he plays. They will be in touch over the next few weeks, which is going to give him plenty of decision-making time, and they're going to have decisions to make. They did talk about it, I believe, the day after the season ended, and Anthony Costanzo is still deciding. He was asked about the right side of the line. He said that they had struggles early with stunts. Played real good the second half of the season and the run game. But as a unit, he was very pleased. Now, this is something I don't understand. I can understand, you know, being struggling with stunts and everything. But the run game, what did he exactly see in the run game? Because take away the box score. I don't want you to talk about the box score. I don't want to talk about Marlon Mack, the 1,000-yard rusher. I don't want to talk about that. When Marlon Mack was running north, he is a 13-yard rusher. If he is running north. Now, if you're running east to west, west to east, the offensive line is not very good. When you're running sideline to sideline, the offensive line is not very good. In every single game, when they tried to do it, hell, even against Miami, when they tried running from sideline to sideline, nothing happened. Nothing. Negative yards. That's where all of the negative yards came from, guys. When they tried to run outside, negative yardage. If there's a stat, go look it up. When they tried running zone runs, oh my Lord, the negative plays were just endless. Endless. That's really all he had about to say about the offensive line. He was very pleased with the unit, and they are still evaluating. So real quick, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get onto the defensive side of the ball, and then we're going to get into some of my takeaways from this press conference. All right, who's ready to get into this defensive side of the football? Who is ready? Because I am. I'm ready to get into defense. So when asked about the Tampa 2 defense needing to be more aggressive, he noted it always starts up front. Always starts up front. There needs to be more of an interior pressure in the three technique. All right. He can live with dink and dunks all day, but he hates the big shots. And this is where more of his, let me throw it out there, pistosity. You know, that's where most of his anger came from when it came to the defense giving up big shots. That's what he was very angry about that. And I find it interesting. You know, he said that there needs to be more of an interior pressure from the three technique. I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, pairing someone with Danico Autry could be very, very smart. You know, he just kept saying they can't give up explosives, not forcing turnovers at a rate to be successful. That's just, you know, he was very honest. You know, the defense is not creating turnovers, you know, not enough to be successful. Okay. I'm basically just mimicking what he said. He was asked about Tyquan Lewis because the last 2 years have been kind of hampered by injuries a little bit. When asked about it, he said he needs to see more. It's a big year for Tyquan Lewis, because always when it comes to a rookie in their third year, you kind of sometimes figure out who he is. You kind of figure out where he's at. So that's what he said on Tyquan Lewis. When it came to Jabal Sheard, he almost gave the impression that he's not thinking about adding Jabal Sheard back. But let me tell you what he said. And I quote, "What a pro. He battles and is a great teammate, but he also said has not made any decisions on who will be back or who won't." So, like I said, remember, the month-long evaluation of the roster, how they performed, and all things like that. I'm pretty sure in February it starts, we're going to start hearing rumblings about players coming and going, staying, being re-signed. Jabal Sheard, do I think he should be re-signed, guys? I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't think he should be re-signed. When you're talking about there needs to be more of a pressure and presence up front, that's coming from all the positions, okay? You got a guy in Justin Houston, got a guy in Kamoko Touré who got injured, hopefully he's back, and then Ben Banigou, who I'm really high on. It might be time to give Ben Banigou the starting job, but that's in my estimation. Chris Ballard is going to say hell no to that. Would I be surprised if Jabal Sheard was brought back? I wouldn't, because he brings a presence in the run game that's very important, but in the pass game, he just doesn't bring a whole lot. Jabal Sheard does not go after the quarterback. He doesn't. He's not that guy. He's just not that guy. But would I like Jabal Sheard back? Yes. But do I think he's going to come back? I do not. Last thing on the defensive line. When talking about Kamoko Touré and Ben Banigou, he thought Touré took the right step before the fracture in his ankle. You know, he was really encouraged by what he saw from Kamoko Touré. And then on Ben Banigou, he showed flashes, but he needs to see more. Needs to see more. And I'm just going to say this. To see more, you got to give the man playing time. I'm just going to throw that out there. On to the linebacker situation. Not a whole lot, just one thing he really said. He said Bobby Okereke has something special in his body. He was very high on Okereke. He said a lot of things about him. And, you know, the Colts once again found a gem in Bobby Okereke. Anthony Walker had a great year. You know, and here's the thing, guys. Never mind. I'll save it for afterwards. But that's really it. He noted Darius Leonard is a great player, and you know, the linebacking core he was very pleased with this year. Getting into the cornerbacks, this is going to be a little bit of a lengthy one. He was really encouraged with what Kari Willis will bring for the future. He was really encouraged. He really likes Kari Willis. You know, he traded up to get him, okay? When Chris Ballard trades up to get someone, man, you better hope that guy works out, and Kari Willis worked out. On Malik Hooker, he said that Malik Hooker was solid, but he tailed off at the end. He tailed off, and we all saw all the defense tailed off at the end, okay? The defense was just horrendous at the end of the season. It was just pitiful. You know, this is talking about wow, guys, you know what I just noticed? I'm on the cornerback subject, but I'm talking about safeties. Wow. Well, no, this is actually the secondary. Okay, this is the secondary. My fault, guys. I had like a little bit of a brain fart, and you know, I just got confused for a second. But back on track here, he noted he really likes Odom, and Odom is such a great tackler. So you can tell Chris Ballard just continues to be high on George Odom. He just continues to be high on him. And I do like George Odom. When he needed to step up in Houston, Kansas City, man, who he also noted the forced fumble he made in Kansas City in that game on LeSean McCoy. I mean, that was big time. I like me some George Odom. I do like me some George Odom. He was asked about the explosive plays allowed in the secondary. Why were there big shots being allowed? And he said getting beat at the line of scrimmage will always allow big shots. Technique needs to be better and being in the right spot. So he noted everybody needs to have better technique, and needs to be in a better spot. He was also asked about Quincy Wilson. You know, there were some questions about him this season, injury wise, inactive wise, why he was inactive. And he noted, if you're not a starting top three corner, then by rule, like by his standards, you're going to play special teams. And when you got Marvell Tell doing special teams, when you got other guys coming on the roster doing special teams, there wasn't much for Quincy Wilson to add to the team. There wasn't a whole lot. So I thought that gave some clarity on the Quincy Wilson situation. He also said that he has a big year ahead of him. This is the contract year for Quincy Wilson. This is the end of his rookie year. He has one more year left. He needs to go out and prove something. He needs to get in the lab. He needs to work on his technique. He needs to work. Because I'm out on Quincy Wilson. I was his biggest supporter, but I can't support this anymore. The play that he's putting on the field, I can't support it anymore. So he has got a big year ahead of him, and he has got to get it on the ball. He was asked about Pierre Desir. He said Pierre Desir had a very tough season. He only practiced 3 days in 6 weeks. Because remember, Pierre Desir missed quite a bit of time. He missed, I think, like, what was it, 4 or 5 games? Pierre Desir was gone. You know, that hamstring injury really hampered him. And he noted it was a down year for him, practicing 3 days in 6 weeks. It was pretty bad. On Marvell Tell, there were some good moments, but also some bad moments. He noted a couple of good plays against Denver, Pittsburgh, getting beat out in New Orleans, getting beat out in Tampa Bay. Just good and bad. On Rocky Sin, all that he said was he's happy how he's growing. He was asked about you know, everything that they asked of Rocky Sin, because they threw Rocky Sin into the fire. I mean, they threw him into the fire, guys. Think about it. He went up in one season, guys. He went up against Keenan Allen, Courtland Sutton, Tyrell Williams, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, AJ Brown. He went up against some players. And he had, I would say, a successful season. I would say that much about Rocky Sin. He had a successful season. On the defense, he said the defense is young and it needs work. He noted that the second half of the Tennessee game, when the defense started going down, he put an emphasis on needing to add veteran leadership. You know, veteran leadership was missed. You know, names he threw out there was Al Woods and Mike Mitchell. Those were some good veterans that added some leadership, a good presence. He wants to add more. So look out. In free agency, there's some veteran leadership coming. On Kenny Moore, he basically named Kenny Moore the best nickel corner in the league. Now, am I on board with that? You know, there could be a couple of arguments, but I am definitely on board with that. Kenny Moore was such a great find for Chris Ballard. This is why he gets paid the big bucks, and I'm going to get more into that at the end of this podcast. Now we're getting into special teams. He was asked, does he have any regrets on the Adam Vinatieri situation? And he basically said no. He doesn't have any regrets on the handling of Adam Vinatieri. He said at some point it wasn't even a topic of discussion. You know, when it came to the group of kickers they brought in for workouts, he would take Adam Vinatieri out of any of the group of kickers he brought in. He said that. You know, even when Adam Vinatieri was struggling, he said he would still take Adam Vinatieri over any of the kickers they brought in. Now, he said that they will visit, like, at the end of February to talk about, because right now he's giving Adam Vinatieri time to rehab that knee, get it fully healed. But he said they will meet at the end of February, whether Adam Vinatieri is going to call it quits or he might get resigned. We don't know. He talked about Chase McLaughlin. He loves Chase McLaughlin, and he did a real good job. He noted that the special teams needs to be better. The special teams unit needs to be better. Kickoff return, kickoff, punt return, punt, field goal kicking. You know, special teams was such a horrendous spot. It got taken care of more at the end of the year because, man, what a difference it makes when you're starting to hit kicks. Chase McLaughlin made all of his extra points. He missed one field goal. He went 13 out of 14 in total kicks. So I'm all aboard the Chase McLaughlin train. I don't mind bringing in any extra competition, but nonetheless, I'm encouraged with what Chris Ballard sees in the special teams department. So basically, that takes care of the press conference. That's everything from the press conference, guys, okay? Now, these are my turnovers from this press conference right after this quick drink. Okay, so my takeaways, the number one takeaway, turnover is coming. Okay, turnover is coming. Whether that's going to be at the wide receiver position, tight end, quarterback, maybe some offensive line depth, the defensive line, turnover is coming. I expect him to be a little bit more aggressive. I don't expect any like splash signings or anything. I don't expect anything of that nature. I don't expect any of that. But you know, maybe if there's a Byron Jones out there who's familiar with Matt Eberflus from their days in Dallas, do they bring him on? Do they bring in Byron Jones? I think he adds good depth. I do think he's a good depth piece. I definitely think that he is. What about maybe Amari Cooper? I don't know about Amari Cooper, guys. I know some of y'all like him, but man, he just does not step up in big games. He doesn't. I too many injuries. I just don't know about Amari Cooper, but turnover is coming. Expect that. The number two, guys, learn the name Javon Kinlaw. Learn the name Javon Kinlaw. From a pass rushing standpoint, I think Javon Kinlaw is the best pass rushing D3 technique in this draft. And there is a real possibility he is going to be on the board when it comes time for the 13th pick. And if he is there, Chris Ballard is taking Javon Kinlaw. I cannot wait. If Javon Kinlaw is a Colt, he just adds a new element to this defense. Justin Houston, who is getting a little up there in age, Kamoko Touré is back, DeNico Autry, Javon Kinlaw. We got to get that other side, that defensive end spot, figured out with more pass rushing. But guys, I would be so encouraged if Javon Kinlaw is taken. The number three takeaway I took. Tight end is now a need, a versatile one. Now, when I say that, I mean an Eric Ebron type tight end, a guy who is athletic, a guy who obviously can catch better than Eric Ebron, a guy who is faster. Because Jack Doyle is your typical tight end, not that fast, but he gets open. He does everything right. He's a reliable catcher. We already have that in Jack Doyle. Now we need a speedster in the tight end room. We need a guy to fill, to retake those shoes from Eric Ebron, because Mo Alie-Cox, he's kind of in the same boat with Jack Doyle. We need a versatile guy who is a great route runner. And in this draft class, guys, there are some killers at tight end. Hunter Bryant, Bryson Hopkins, Albert O, Obo Okwakwom, something like that. Albert O. You look at other guys, man. Mitchell Wilcox, he's kind of an underrated tight end. He'll be there like in the fifth, sixth round. There are some other guys. Jared Pinkney. There are some guys in this draft, okay? When it comes to Cole Kmet, I look at him as a Jack Doyle. I wouldn't go after him, but let's say if the Colts draft him, I would be happy. Because it fits a need, and he's a talented tight end. But he's not the versatile one that we need. So that's another takeaway I had. My fourth takeaway: Ballard is preparing us to not see a quarterback drafted in the first two rounds. Okay? He noted you can't force it. He noted there are some guys that he likes, but he goes after players he loves. I truly think Chris Ballard is preparing us to potentially see a quarterback taken in the third or fourth round. Potentially. That's what I got out of this. Number five, Ballard will add talent in free agency. That goes into the number one takeaway. You know, turnover is coming, not just by the draft, but I wanted to reiterate with this takeaway that it will come in the free agency route as well. Now, my last takeaway, this is starting to get into some of the Chris Ballard stains, you know, the Brad Wells of the world, everything that all these people want to try and call out Chris Ballard for. My last takeaway: Chris Ballard is the right guy. No one should be talking about his job. Let's get into it. Let's look at the guys. You know, people are starting to say Chris Ballard is better in press conferences than he is in the draft room, than he is at his own job. Well, let's talk about that. First off, did he not draft two All-Pros, Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson? Are those guys not going to the Pro Bowl? Are those guys probably not the best at their position in the league or the AFC? Okay, now you get into Kenny Moore. He wasn't drafted. He was an undrafted free agent. That's Chris Ballard's crew liked, and he found him. And now he's the best nickel corner in the game. So you get a guy in Malik Hooker who has not been bad at all. He's been good. He fell off at the end of the season. I give you that. But Malik Hooker's good. And then you trade up in the fourth round for a future starting strong safety. Kari Willis took Clayton Gathers' job. That's what he did. Then you look at the depth that Chris Ballard has added onto this team: Zaire Franklin, Matthew Adams, EJ Speed in the linebacking position. You look at the job he did finding Braden Smith. Originally drafting him at right guard, he is now our starting right tackle. Went out and found Mark Glowinski, didn't he? Oh, yes, he did. He drafted Marlon Mack, right? 1,000-yard rusher. He went out and got Nyheim Hines, who is now our punt returner and a gadget player. And then people sit here, man, this is what's so annoying. All these rookie wide receivers who are good wide receivers, who are making plays, over here saying Chris Ballard took the wrong guy. How can you say he took the wrong guy after 1 year? Paris Campbell played in 7 games. 7 games. DK Metcalf and AJ Brown played in all 16. And I'm sitting here saying, oh, okay, go ahead and throw DK into the Hall of Fame and then send Paris Campbell to the XFL if he's trash. Go ahead. Go ahead. Because apparently we're not paying attention to context. We keep sitting here saying Chris Ballard is not a good GM. What evidence do you have to say Chris Ballard is not a good GM? Where is the evidence? Please, someone who is listening to this, tweet at me, DM me, show me evidence that Chris Ballard is not the guy. Show me evidence Chris Ballard is not the right GM for the Colts. And you sit here and say, oh, look how this season went because he didn't add enough talent. No, your franchise quarterback retired 2 weeks before the year. Okay? If Patrick Mahomes retired from Kansas City today, you would see the holes that they have on that team. Andrew Luck covered some of those holes on this team. But when you add an average quarterback like Jacoby Brissett, those holes begin to become more obvious. Why were they so obvious? Because guess what? Ryan Grigson built the worst roster in the league. The worst roster. Hell, the 2-14 team was probably better than the roster Chris Ballard took on. Ryan Grigson screwed this franchise. Ryan Grigson screwed Andrew Luck. Ryan Grigson destroyed the Colts' reputation. That's what Ryan Grigson did. And then Chris Ballard has done everything he possibly could. I don't want to hear about free agency. I don't want to hear it. When you're rebuilding, you don't go out there and throw tons of money at guys who are probably not going to be here for the long term. You don't do that. You don't do that. Do y'all understand how embarrassing that roster was that Chris Ballard took on? Do y'all understand how horrible that roster was? Who left from that roster is on this roster today? Clayton Gathers, T.Y. Hilton, that's it. Ryan Kelly, Anthony Costanzo, who else? Who else? The worst offensive line in football for 6 consecutive years, a pitiful defense. Where's DeQuell Jackson now? I don't think he's anywhere. Barkevious Mingo, Eric Walden, Vontae Davis, Rashawn Melvin, who? It takes time. It takes a whole bunch of time to fix the embarrassing, pitiful roster that Ryan Grigson built. So don't sit there and come to me, Brad Wells. Don't sit there and come to me, Chris Ballard Staines, about why Chris Ballard is not that good of a GM. I don't want to hear that. That's a ton of garbage. I want you, Brad Wells, I want you, Chris Ballard Staines, to take that job, go back in time, get hired in 2017, and try to build this team yourself. And I want to see how much cap hell you're in. I want to see your pathetic draft picks and how worthless they are. I'm right now standing for Chris Ballard. anyone that tries to call for Chris Ballard's job is a lunatic, is stupid, and uneducated about the game of football. That's what I think. That's what I think. He said he will build through the draft. So I don't want to hear none of that. I don't want to hear none of it. Whoo, man, y'all got me. Hey, man, these people got me heated. Whoo. Guys, it takes time to build a roster, okay? It takes time. You got to add some cornerstones, man. Not guys that are 29 years old, 28 years old. You got to bring in some options. So, that's what I think, guys. That's what I think. Believe that'll wrap it up for this episode, guys. Again, I'll be back next Wednesday to talk about the draft, get into some positions, who, you know, we'll start getting into some report cards. We'll start getting into some draft previews, some mock drafts, guys. I truly appreciate if you guys can tune in, if you guys can give your support and everything like that. Next Wednesday will be the next episode. I have been in contact with a couple of people about potentially being a guest on the show. So if I end up having a guest, it will be on another day that's not a Wednesday. But for guys that I'm going to be having on, it will be like a specialty podcast. So guys, thank you for tuning in. Y'all have a blessed week. Go Colts. And man, I'm ready for 2020. I just want to see who we're ready to add. I want to see the turnover. I want to see the draft picks. So, guys, take care of yourselves and stay blessed.